I understand you to say that compassion arises from wisdom and is increased by wisdom. My question asks, what are the defining characteristics of the Buddhist idea of wisdom?
Shirup. Ta shirup sade kada chutan kasore. Sosur tokwe kwane. Ta tenjik sato tong. Tenjiba, tenjik zibumero.
The entity of wisdom, or the nature of wisdom itself, is to look into some object or phenomenon and, what was the last
one?
To investigate. It is the factor of mind, the knower, that investigates and looks into and understands objects. So that's wisdom from the point of view of the agent, the consciousness that is wise. From the point of view of the objects that are investigated, there is conventional wisdom, that is to say, wisdom of conventional objects, and ultimate wisdom, or wisdom of the ultimate.
Now,
both types of those wisdoms are involved in the development of compassion to its fullest extent. One needs first to use the conventional type of wisdom in order to understand that everybody, like oneself, wants happiness and doesn't want suffering, of the equality of self and other and so forth, and from this point of view increase compassion. Then in order to bring compassion to its fullest, one has to understand the Buddhist concept of emptiness, or the lack of inherent existence, because the conception that objects and persons inherently exist prevents the full development of compassion.
So now
this is the Buddhist's own explanation of how to develop compassion to its fullest. Can anger be a trigger to action? In other words, could you use anger in order to do some effective action, as in nuclear power? I suppose the questioner means to stop nuclear power. Wouldn't love take too long? You know, anger might accomplish the job quicker.
Oh. Yes, it seems there's danger.
Indeed, it is the case that anger makes things happen very quickly. Therefore, we have to be more careful with anger.
Isn't it?
We as Christians believe that in suffering we can serve our God, as Christ also suffered. Does His Holiness think that perhaps suffering is necessary?
That suffering, that necessary, you know, many, you know, you are what? That delay, Targo, what? Tandu, you are what?
Whether suffering is necessary or not, it does exist, and everyone needs to become free from suffering.
But go, Jesus, Tungi, Shayati, Shan, Pembet, Shangi, Tungi, Nundu, Dad, that.
Jesus himself assumed others' suffering in order to reduce and eliminate their suffering.
Then there
is a practice in which, in Buddhism, one takes suffering as a stimulus to practice. I think this would be true in all religions.
Now you see sacrificing some temporary benefit in order to achieve long-term benefit. Accept temporary suffering with volunteer, with understanding. So that kind, I think, available in every religious practice.
What is it in children that should be? What do children have that should be admired the most? Sort of, what is the best quality that children have that it would be nice if? What quality do children themselves have that adults should perhaps follow?
I don't know. I think you see. Impressive is the small children. You see, they're very straightforward. If they're happy, they express happy. If they, you see, something wrong, they immediately express. So you see, less danger.
Less danger of their being deceitful.
Now you see, in our society, I think very unfortunately, you see, in reality something different, but showing externally is something different, and you see cheating each other. I think ultimately that will cheat oneself. That's very, very sophisticated, very complicated. Many unfortunate events, I think, come as a result of, you see, that atmosphere. You see, distrust, fear. Now, these are, one of the major contributors. Our problem.
In your talk, you mentioned that one might work towards three kinds of compassion. Could you please describe and explain these three types in more detail? The first type of compassion is posited from the point of view that one is just paying attention to sentient beings, to all beings, as undergoing suffering, and one is developing a wish to free them from that suffering.
Now I think for last question, now only recorded last question.
Then the second Then in the second type of compassion, the factor of wisdom that analyzes the nature of beings as being in a condition of impermanence, of momentarily changing, of undergoing evanescence in every instant, analyzing with reasoning and investigation and determining, feeling, understanding the impermanence of other beings. And then with that understanding, wishing that those beings be free from suffering. Then in the third type of compassion, one is first analyzing and developing great ascertainment with respect to the lack of inherent existence of all beings. One here is analyzing that beings don't exist from their own side or independently, and is realizing that they lack a type of independence that they nevertheless think they have. And this type of wisdom affects the compassion, induces even greater compassion. That's the third type. You have described very clearly the depth of compassion and its role in creating peace. Would you like to comment on what your religion and culture could similarly contribute to humankind's compassion for nature and for his only earth?
Of course, I'm only
they're concerned about the environment, about whether compassion has applicability to the earth. We don't use the word compassion for things that are without consciousness. However, I think what you're talking about is concern or lack of concern for the world, for the environment. And indeed, we have to live in our environment. We have to live with the physical elements. Without the sun, earth, and so forth, we can't possibly exist. Therefore, it's necessary to be concerned and take care of it.
I think, you see, in a way, mankind itself a product of, you see, nature element. So you see, we have to go along the nature environment. I think we have to respect. Yeah. The last question. Yeah. Then last question.
Well, in the light of the 1959 invasion of your country, might I ask what plans you have made for your followers who now find themselves under communist rule?
That's too much politics.
Well, maybe another question.
Are you still in contact with Heinrich Harrer?
Oh, yes. And also now, today, I met another, you see, old Scottish gentleman, the name Hugh Richardson, who several years remained in Lhasa. So he knows very, very well about the situation, and one of our great friends. So today I met him. I found he, despite his old age, his mental, very fresh, very alerted mind, and physically also, it seems to me, more weight. I think Scottish good food.
You know, this has been one of the most delightful evenings, Your Holiness, that I think I've ever had. Good fun, and no kind of, even if we had to put that thing on because of your video people who were recording you. Great fun. I don't know, we had Mrs. Donaldson, who's our chairman of social work, who was going to present you with a little white mouse. Because I understand it's the year of the white mouse or something like that, 16th cycle in the Tibetan calendar, but where Mrs. Donaldson's gone, no doubt. But what a delight to have you. I'm sure everyone would like to continue questioning you for ages, but I'm under instructions from your entourage through the Lothian region that we have to call the matter to a close at this particular time. I'm afraid not, because we're actually under that time control from the entourage. But what a delight, and thank you very much, sir, for being with us. And I know that you will be going on to Glasgow, to Dumfriesshire, and to various other areas in the country. I know your schedule is very tiring, and I would ask everyone to thank His Holiness for being here, and to...